Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Pecos Gets New Grocery Store by Michael Barr. Pecos. This week, United Markets in the city of Pecos will begin a new era as the grocery chain opens its new store to the public. Located on 2783 South Cedar Street, the 44,000-square-foot grocery store and 3,000-square-foot United Express convenience store will open the doors this morning. The special ribbon-cutting ceremony took place Tuesday afternoon outside of the store. The event took place in a private ceremony that wasn't open to the public due to COVID-19 concerns. The caption reads, "Store Director Sergio Arguillan cuts the ribbon at the grand opening ceremony of the new United Supermarket Tuesday in Pecos." United Family CEO Robert Taylor spoke at the ceremony, as the grand opening was the accumulation of a year that's been at times stressful due to the pandemic. "We were out here several months ago and we thought that we had cleared our last hurdle when we broke ground," Taylor said. "Little did we know that we would have a thing called COVID. Little did we know what would happen with the oil crisis. But we're still excited about what's happening in Pecos, and we're really excited about opening this store. We're looking forward to being a part of the community." For years, United Supermarkets have been a mainstay in West Texas with its headquarters located in Lubbock. For United Family President Sidney Hopper, being able to serve West Texas is a big part of the company's identity. "A lot of our roots go back to small West Texas towns, so it's been a part of our DNA," Hopper said. "It's great to do business in a community where we get to give back and serve others." He says the chain is thankful for the welcoming attitude from the city. "I'm not sure that I've ever seen a community that was so excited and welcoming to bring us to town," Hopper said. "We're going to do everything we can to uphold that trust the community has given us." The main store will include a full-service bakery, sushi bar, and a full-service deli, in addition to a meat market with an in-house butcher for custom meat cutting. It will also feature an extensive beer and wine selection, along with food service and dining. "I can't wait to open up this store," Store Director Sergio Agrillian said. "If I could, I'd open it up right now. I can't wait to present our 44,000-square-foot market." The ceremony also included donations from United to the Santa Rosa Food Bank and the North Temple Baptist Food Bank and the Reeves County Veterans Association. The ceremony concluded with a speech by Pecos Mayor David Flores, followed by the ribbon cutting and a tour of the store. "On behalf of the city of Pecos, we wish to thank the United family for making an incredible investment in Pecos," Flores said. "By building this grocery store, we are creating new jobs for our community. This development will be a cornerstone of future economic development in this area for years to go. We wish to thank United Supermarket and welcome them to Pecos, Texas." United Family Regional Vice President John Jameson and Pecos City officials were also present at the ceremony. Also from the front page, 285 days. For 285 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through September 30th, the city has spent $62,843.51 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news. By the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 7,804. Ector County negative, 28,963 out of 37,373 tested, with 506 pending, 125 deaths. Recovered, 6,002. Active, 1,677. ECISD daily cases, 19 students, 14 staff. Midland County, 6,062 confirmed, 103 deaths. Texas, 974,230 confirmed, with 8,901,839 tested. Total Texas deaths, 18,863. U.S. cases, 10,036,463 total, confirmed, and 237,731 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/tztrjlf. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/y6NTPTUQ. And finally, from the front page, MCH reports 108th COVID-19 related death. Medical Center Health System reported its 107th and 108th COVID-19 related death, a press release detailed. The first patient, a 38-year-old female, died Monday night. The patient was a resident of Ector County and was admitted to Medical Center Hospital on November 4th. The second patient, a 73-year-old man, died Tuesday afternoon. The patient was a resident of Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation in Odessa and was admitted to Medical Center Hospital on Tuesday. Both patients had pre-existing conditions and both families have been notified. Local News Roundup. Odessa Recycles Day. Keep Odessa Beautiful has scheduled Odessa Recycle Days from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday on Friday at the Odessa Recycle Center, 816 West 42nd Street. Aluminum cans buyback special rate is 20 cents. On Saturday, free shredding up to 3 office-sized boxes per household. No digital media, CDs, USBs, thumb drives, etc. The event is drive-through to keep everyone safe. Call 335-4686 or visit keepodessabeautiful.org. Free Food Pantry. Odessa College, 201 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free West Texas Food Bank mobile pantry from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday. WTFB mobile pantries are open to anyone needing food assistance in our communities. Bring your ID. You may be asked to show an ID when checking in. You may use the WTFB mobile pantry once a month. You are asked to work with one of the 80-plus partner agency should you need food more than once a month. If you are in need of assistance outside of these hours, dial 211 or visit one of our partner agencies. For more information on how to get help, visit https://how-to-get-help. Virtual Veterans Legal Clinic. Legal Aid of Northwest Texas has scheduled a virtual Veterans Legal Clinic from 9 a.m. to noon Friday. Veterans needing legal advice in civil matters such as bankruptcy, consumer law, debt harassment, estate planning, family law are welcome to attend. No criminal cases may be brought to the clinic. Appointment is required to attend. To schedule an appointment or for more information, call Pete Fierro at 432-332-1207, extension 4511. Ellen Noel Art Museum receives national recognition. OA News at OAOA.com. The Ellen Noel Art Museum has again achieved accreditation by the American Alliance of Museums, the highest national recognition afforded the nation's museum. Accreditation signifies excellence to the museum community, to government, funders, outside agencies, and to the museum going public. The Ellen Noel Art Museum achieved initial accreditation in 2005. All museums must undergo a re-accreditation review at least every 10 years to maintain accredited status, a news release said. Alliance accreditation brings national recognition to a museum for its commitment to excellence, accountability, high professional standards, and continued institutional improvements. This designation attests that the Ellen Noel Art Museum operates at the highest level of museum provision in this country. Of the nation's estimated 33,000 museums, only 1,070 have achieved accreditation. The Ellen Noel Art Museum is one of only 49 museums accredited in Texas, the release said. I am honored and proud that the Ellen Noel Art Museum has achieved this noteworthy recognition from AAM, said Director Sheila Perry. The museum's dedicated to creating high-quality, engaging exhibits and programs that inspire our audience is made all the more successful by this reaccreditation. The hard work and dedication of the staff and board during the reaccreditation process and beyond regularly exemplify ENAM's commitment to excellence and to serving the people of West Texas. Conway pays a visit. The caption reads, U.S. Representative Mike Conway, R. Midland, hands out copies of the book, The Old Lady Who Swallowed a Pie, to a class of three-year-olds from Midland College's Pre-K Academy on Tuesday morning. Conway spent the morning reading the book to different groups from the preschool as part of the Midland College Library Readers Program. Federal grand jury indicts five in connection to defrauding banks. OANews.OAOA.com. A press release from the Department of Justice detailed that federal authorities arrested three individuals charged in connection with a scheme to defraud several San Antonio financial institutions of more than $13 million. The banks that were detailed in the indictment included Southwestern Bank, Bank of San Antonio, and Trans-Pecos Bank. The announcement came Tuesday afternoon from the United States Attorney's Office, Western District of Texas. Three San Antonio residents were reportedly arrested without incident. 48-year-old Ronald Wayne Schroeder, 58-year-old Jill Martin Alvarado, and 78-year-old Phyllis Joe Martinez. Authorities in Del Rio arrested Alvarado's 55-year-old husband, Rigo Alvarado, over the weekend, while Martinez's 56-year-old son, Ryan Martinez, is currently in state prison on unrelated charges. The six-count federal indictment unsealed Tuesday charges all five named above with one count of conspiracy to commit bank fraud, the press release stated. In addition, Schroeder, Jill Alvarado, Ryan Martinez, and Phyllis Martinez are reportedly charged with one count of conspiracy to commit money laundering. The indictment also charges Schroeder, Ryan Martinez, and Phyllis Martinez with one count of conspiracy to launder monetary instruments, the press release stated. Schroeder is also charged with three counts of bank fraud. The indictment alleges that the defendants conspired to defraud various financial institutions of money through the factoring of false and fraudulent invoices, the press release stated. Schroeder reportedly sent false and fraudulent invoices of companies owned or controlled by the other defendants to be factored by the financial institutions. Schroeder and other co-conspirators would then use that money for their own personal enrichment or to pay off old invoices owed to the financial institutions, much like a Ponzi scheme where money from new investors is used to pay old investors. The indictment identifies three companies that are involved in the scheme, which includes Nerd Factory, which was owned by Ryan Martinez and later Phyllis Martinez, Alves Logistics, which is owned by Jill Enrico Alvarado, and Republic Logistics, a fake company created and used by Schroeder to steal money for himself, the press release stated. According to the indictment, false and fraudulent invoices from Nerd Factory were reportedly factored by Southwest Bank and then BOSA. That money would then be used by the owners of Nerd Factory, Ryan Martinez, and later Phyllis Martinez, for legal fees in a pending criminal federal case as of unearned profit. Alves Logistics and Nerd Factory also kicked back some of the money obtained to Schroeder, the press release stated. In addition to using false and fraudulent invoices for actual companies, the indictment also reportedly alleges that Schroeder submitted false and fraudulent invoices on behalf of Republic Logistics to BOSA, which were then paid by BOSA. Schroeder used this money to, among other things, purchase high-dollar goods such as cars, RVs, an airplane, boat, and beach house, the press release stated. The indictment further alleges that Schroeder initially began this practice while being funded by Southwest Bank. Schroeder fraudulently grew that portfolio until he was able to sell it all to BOSA. The scheme reportedly continued and expanded while BOSA funded Schroeder. Schroeder also attempted to broker a subsequent deal whereby Trans-Pecos Bank would purchase the fraudulent factored invoices. Each bank fraud-related charge is punishable for up to 30 years in federal prison, conspiracy to commit money laundering up to 20 years in federal prison, and conspiracy to launder monetary instruments up to 10 years in federal prison. The FBI is conducting this ongoing investigation while Assistant U.S. Attorney Joseph Blackwell is prosecuting this case on behalf of the government. Police looking for man involved in gas station burglary. OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa Police Department is searching for a man in connection to a burglary at a gas station, a press release detailed. The burglary reportedly happened at 4:30 p.m. October 13th at the Kent Quick located at 1100 North Grandview Avenue. Investigation showed a man made forced entry into the business and stole $4,794 worth of property, the press release stated. OPD has released a photo of the man that can be seen at tinyurl.com/YYRMJDMG. Anyone with information about the burglary is asked to contact Detective S. Alvachain at 432-331-2045 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 20-0018226.
Odessa American Opinion Page, Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. Texas View. Cornyn, Cruz, and others must renounce claims of election conspiracy. The Point. Texas Republicans in Congress must make clear that charges of vast fraud is unacceptable and express confidence in our system. President Donald Trump has leveled charges of vast fraud in several battleground states, supposedly aimed at usurping a victory that he declares he has won. It's a grave accusation of a grand conspiracy. The problem is, he and his team have yet to produce evidence that that is true. Absent that, the president's words threaten to baselessly undermine the mechanics of our democracy and give millions of Americans cause to believe a terrible crime has been committed. Texas Republicans in Congress who have stood with Trump must make clear that this is unacceptable. They should publicly express confidence in our system. At a minimum, Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, Representatives Kay Granger of Fort Worth and Ron Wright of Arlington, should call on the president publicly to release evidence of fraud if his campaign has it. Representative Roger Williams of Austin has already, unfortunately, alleged mass corruption, stirring up his Twitter followers without elaborating or providing any proof. The social media company briefly suspended the congressman's account. Trump said Thursday that if you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, then you can try to steal the election from us. He hinted that votes being counted late in the process were inherently suspect. He suggested that polls were intentionally rigged against him. He said Democrats are in charge of vote counting in each of the remaining disputed states, which is false. Perhaps most incredibly, the president expressed wonderment that mail-in ballots were going heavily for Democrat Joe Biden, after he and other Republicans spent months urging their followers to vote in person. What did he expect? We've asked the senators and local Republican representatives about the president's accusations, and they have yet to respond. Cornyn, to his credit, has retweeted Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell's call for all legal votes to be counted. Cruz has raised the issue of Republican vote counting observers being legally barred from watching the process, though the president's campaign has already litigated that issue. Republican poll watchers were denied meaningful access to the ballot processing and counting process in Philadelphia, posing a direct threat to the integrity of our elections, his office said in a written statement. That's why a Pennsylvania court ordered that observers must be allowed within 6 feet of all aspects of the ballot counting process. As Senator Cruz has said, the American people have the right to expect votes will be counted fairly, with transparency, and not in secret. Cornyn, in a now-famous interview with the Star-Telegram editorial board, explained that he has learned it's more effective to express disagreement with Trump in private. We agree that persuading Trump is impossible if you bawl him out in public. This time, though, the moment is too big. It's not primarily about the president and what he believes. It's also about the 70 million-plus people who voted for him. They deserve to have confidence that their votes weren't improperly diluted. Opinion column by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Guest View. Join me in honoring U.S. service members by Senator John Cornyn. Please join me this Veterans Day in honoring the men and women who have served our nation in the U.S. Armed Forces. Texas is blessed with an outsized number of veterans, and I'm proud to represent the millions of former service members that call our state home. There's no doubt a thread of patriotism, duty, and service is woven through our culture. Perhaps that's the influence of our many veterans, or perhaps that's the reason they have chosen to hang their hat in the Lone Star State. I am especially grateful this year for the many veterans in the healthcare field who have once again answered the call of duty and have come out of retirement to help our military combat the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you to all of the men and women who dusted off their uniforms to help their fellow soldiers maintain readiness. To the heroes among us, thank you for your service and your sacrifice. Our nation is forever indebted to you, and I will continue to fight on your behalf in the U.S. Senate. May God bless each veteran, their families who also serve, and may he continue to bless the United States of America. Senator John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, is a member of the Senate Finance, Intelligence, and Judiciary Committees.
Obituaries for Wednesday, November 11th. Truman Laro Woody Gregory. Truman Laro Woody Gregory was born June 29th, 1933, to Lemuel and Eleanor Gregory. He married Betty Sue Story in 1952. Woody is preceded in death by his parents and six siblings, as well as his wife, Betty. He is survived by his wife, Genevieve, who he married in 1992, son, Don Gregory, and wife, Claire, daughter, Laura Fink, and husband, Joel, eight grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, November 12th at Crossroads Church, 6901 East Highway 191. Contributions in memory of Woody may be made to the UTPB School of Engineering at UT Permian Basin. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. A.C. Brewer. A.C. Brewer, 93, of Odessa, passed away Saturday, November 7th. Graveside services were held Wednesday, November 11th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. AC was born in Merkel to Raymond and Lola Brewer, July 28th, 1927. He married Freddie Kendrick in 1950 in Haskell. AC is preceded in death by his wife, Freddie, his parents, Raymond and Lola Brewer, brother Johnny Brewer, and sister Venice Elmore. He is survived by his daughters Debbie Webb and husband John, Lisa Everett and husband Rick, and one granddaughter, as well as his sister Brenda Summers. Memorials may be made to Hospice of Midland and Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Brandon Scott Collins. Brandon Scott Collins passed away Friday, October 16th at the age of 41. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, November 13th at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home Chapel with Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Brandon was born May 1st, 1979 to Gary Warren Collins and Francis Walraven Collins in Andrews. He is survived by his three children, Grayson, Emerson, and Weston, the mother of his children, Karen, his parents, Gary and Francis Collins, siblings Justin Collins and wife Kristen, Aaron Collins and wife Shannon, and Allison Collins, as well as nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to the Legacy Fund. Brandon Collins Legacy Fund. https://everloved.com/life-of/brandon-collins/donate/. If you would like to send your condolences to the family, please do so by signing his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Bobby Lee Chandler. Bobby Lee Chandler, 88, passed away November 7th in Round Rock. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, November 13th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home with the Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Bob was born July 26, 1932 in Gatesville, the sixth of seven children born to Barney and Edna Chandler. Bob is preceded in death by his parents, and he outlived all his siblings, brothers Howard and wife Ada, Dick and wife Cla Ellen, brother Cleburne and wife Laverne, a little brother Royce, his sisters Pauline and husband Burl and Jim, and Imogene and husband Joe, his first wife LaDonna, son Ronnie Allen, and daughter-in-law Bonnie. He is survived by his wife, Barbara, of Buchanan Dam, sons Steve of Odessa and Kyle of Grapevine, three grandchildren, three great-grandchildren, a sister-in-law, Jerry Ann, as well as nieces and nephews. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Isaiah Soto. Isaiah Soto, 8, of Midland, died Sunday, November 8th in Lubbock. A funeral service is scheduled for 3 p.m. Thursday, November 12th at Mid-Cities Community Church, 191 campus. The family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, November 11th at Mid-Cities Community Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Santos Espinosa. Santos Espinosa, 65, of Odessa, died Saturday, November 7th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Arturo Rios Flores. Arturo Rios Flores, 42, died Friday, November 6th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Matthew Levi Gutierrez. Matthew Levi Gutierrez, 34, of Odessa, died Friday, November 6th, in Lubbock. A graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. November 13th at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Sam Gutierrez officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Alec Michael Del Bosque. Alec Michael Del Bosque, 18, died Sunday, November 1st, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
This is the Energy Page. This article is entitled, Crude Price is at Highest in More Than 2 Months, by Andres Guerra-Laws, Bloomberg. Oil rose to its highest in more than 2 months in London on optimism that a potential coronavirus vaccine will boost demand, offsetting immediate concerns over growing virus lockdowns. West Texas Intermediate closed at $41.36, up $1.07. Futures in London climbed 2.9% to the highest since early September, extending Monday's gain following encouraging results from a large-scale vaccine trial. While headline prices are advancing, there have also been sharp moves in the structure of the futures curve. Brent, for 6 months ahead, was at its strongest versus 12 months out since March, a sign that traders are growing more positive on supply and demand balances for the second half of the year. The head of the world's largest independent oil trader said oil demand should recover to pre-pandemic levels by the Northern Hemisphere's fall season next year. Vitol Chief Executive Officer Russell Hardy predicted 100 million barrels would emerge from storage over the next 5 months if the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies hold off on planned production increases. Price gains from here get tougher, said Rob Hayworth, Senior Investment Strategist at U.S. Bank Wealth Management. Shutdowns for Europe are going to limit activity for the next month. There's only so much you can do when you got a spot market that remains awash in oil. Crude was one of the assets lifted recently by the broader market euphoria surrounding a potential vaccine. But ahead of a viable, widely distributed vaccine, growing lockdown restrictions in parts of Europe and surging cases worldwide present lingering threats to a sustained demand recovery. Meanwhile, the continued return of Libyan supply remains a complicating factor for the OPEC Plus Alliance's plan to taper output cuts in January. Still, an improving picture in Asia offers a bright spot, with consumption recovering in China and oil demand in Japan roughly back to normal. In further signs of strength, the spread between West Texas Intermediate's December 2021 contract firmed to its strongest against that for the following December since February, while the Middle Eastern Dubai benchmark was trading in a bullish, backward-dated structure. Large speculators came into this week holding a near-record short position in the ICE Brent contract, which helped fuel yesterday's impressive rally at the front of the curve, where most of those short positions are held, said Ryan Fitzmaurice, commodity strategist at Rabobank. A combination of expected fundamental tightening next year, along with aggressive short covering, is driving the buying in deferred spreads. Monday's price rally came after a mammoth short position had built up in the oil market. That forced a buying spree as traders rushed to cover those bearish bets. It also triggered a rally in some refined products, most notably jet fuel. There are more reasons to remain cautious of the rapid surge in prices. Goldman Sachs Group said virus outbreaks will present a speed bump to the oil market before further tightening. Meanwhile, BMO analysts said it is too soon for $50 oil prices as the market contends with supply headwinds such as returning Libyan output, though the market could balance in the second half of next year. In the U.S., expectations are for a second straight weekly draw in domestic oil stockpiles, according to a Bloomberg survey. The industry-funded American Petroleum Institute will report its figures later Tuesday, ahead of a U.S. government report on Thursday. The announcement of a vaccine will impact asset price through sentiment, but there will be a considerable lag before we have positive and tangible effects on the economy, said Harry Chilagurian, oil strategist at BNP Paribas SA. As oil demand is still on the mend, OPEC Plus will need to address the return of Libyan oil barrels and the reinstatement of supply, which affects the pace of the rebalancing of the market. This article is entitled Railroad Commission Takes Action to Reduce Flaring by Kevin Crowley, Bloomberg. Texas's oil regulator took action to reduce routine natural gas flaring, but its efforts fall short of more aggressive measures requested by some investors and major producers. The Railroad Commission changed the application form for producers wanting to burn off excess gas, it said in a statement. Producers will have to provide more detailed reasons on why they want to flare, as well as more data, and show efforts to reduce emissions. The new application process will reduce flaring by 50% to 80% in some circumstances, the commission said without providing specifics. The measures do not change the state's flaring rule and do not include any targets. In a public comment period, European majors BP and Royal Dutch Shell called on the regulator to beef up its proposed changes and end routine flaring. Investors Alliance Bernstein, California State Teachers Retirement System, and Legal and General Investment Management argued this should happen by 2025. This form change is a big and important step towards minimizing routine flaring in Texas, Commissioner Wayne Christian said in the statement. It will allow our agency to collect the information it needs to better determine who is following the rules when it comes to flaring and who is not. The boom in shale production over the past decade has led to a massive excess of natural gas, which is a byproduct of oil in some basins, such as the Permian. Prices for gas are sometimes so low that it's cheaper for operators to burn it, releasing carbon dioxide and sometimes methane, rather than pay for pipelines to take it to market. Flaring has dropped significantly this year alongside production, but remains a major issue for an industry that's out of favor with Wall Street. This article is entitled Former Iowa Governor Could Have Top Role in Energy Department by Jennifer Jacobs and Jennifer A. DeLuey, Bloomberg. President-elect Biden's transition team has spoken to former Iowa Governor Chet Culver about joining the new administration, according to two people familiar with the matter. A possible senior role in the Energy Department that would draw on Culver's expertise in renewable power has been discussed, according to one of the people who asked not to be named during discussing a personnel matter. The conversation comes as the Biden-Harris transition team takes early steps to begin building a new administration, including appointing some 4,000 individuals for roles across the federal government. Attention has focused on who Biden will tap for cabinet posts and key White House positions, though the president-elect's selection of other top officials will also help signal his approach to policy priorities from clean energy to climate change. Culver, a former high school teacher who now runs a renewable energy consulting firm, championed biofuels and wind and solar power during his four-year tenure as Iowa's governor. If Culver were to be offered and accept a top role in the Energy Department, it would mark a shift at the agency currently led by officials with oil industry ties, in keeping with Biden's promises to support electric vehicles and clean energy. Iowa measures. As Iowa's governor, Culver viewed renewable power as an economic engine for the state. He established its Office of Energy Independence and in 2009 signed into law measures opening tax credits to small wind energy products and other incentives designed to lure renewable component manufacturers to Iowa. Culver was defeated by Republican Terry Branstad in 2010. As co-chair of the National Governors Association's Wind Coalition, Culver also unsuccessfully pressed the Obama-Biden administration to impose a renewable energy standard requiring utilities to draw a percentage of their power from alternative sources. a Biden-Harris transition spokesman, declined to comment. Culver didn't respond to a request for comment. Culver has long family ties to the Bidens. His father served alongside Biden in the Senate in the 1970s and endorsed the president-elect 10 days before the Iowa caucuses. This article is entitled "Jobs Slowly Return to Oilfield Services" by Rebecca Carballo, Houston Chronicle. The number of workers at the U.S. oilfield services companies inched up during October in another sign that the industry is stabilizing during the ongoing downturn. Companies such as Schlumberger, Baker Hughes, and Halliburton added 6,430 workers in the month, a 1% increase over the number in September, according to the Petroleum Equipment and Services Association, an industry trade group that analyzed Bureau of Labor Statistics data. Still, year-over-year job losses in the sector stand at about 101,000, representing $12.7 billion in annual wages. About 92,000 of the lost jobs resulted from the coronavirus pandemic, which swept the nation in March and wiped out demand for crude oil. More than 80% of the oilfield services job losses were those that supported oil and gas extraction, the trade group said, including 77,522 lost to the pandemic. Oilfield services companies were the hardest hit during the historic downturn as production companies slashed operations amid shrinking demand. The U.S. economy added 638,000 jobs in October, reducing the unemployment rate by a full point to 6.9% from 7.9% in September. Despite the improving data, economists say the pace of the economic recovery has slowed. More than 22 million people still receive unemployment assistance, the Labor Department said.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. How do pimples form? Dear Dr. Roach, how do pimples form? Why do they itch? How can I remove them? Answer. Acne is caused by plugged hair follicles, which are associated with sebaceous oil-producing glands. These are more likely to be plugged under control of androgenic hormones. With increased oil production, in the presence of the bacteria Cutibacterium acnes, and with inflammation. These are in turn affected by many factors, such as skin trauma, stress, amount of body fat, and diet. Acne is very common in adolescents, but can continue to be a problem in women and men in their 50s and older. Itching is not common with acne, but tenderness is. Itching is more common with drier skin, and I often see itching in people who are treating their acne with excessively drying treatments. This includes washing your skin with too much heat, too often, or with too harsh a soap. People who have allergic reactions to acne medications or skin creams may also have dry, itchy skin. Sunlight and heat and the associated sweating can be triggers for itching. You really want to avoid scratching or squeezing because this can rupture the acne, causing scarring and potential spread of bacteria. All these worsen symptoms. Acne is better prevented than removed, since the follicles are a normal part of the skin. Your general or family doctor or dermatologist can help design a program to reduce acne. Vitamin A derivatives, topical antibiotics, and benzoyl peroxide may all be part of a treatment regimen depending on your skin and type of acne.
Dear Abby, letter writing fades away when needed more than ever. Dear Abby, would you please address again the importance of expressing gratitude via handwritten note when a generous gift has been given? We grandparents would love it to be acknowledged by our grandchildren. Some of them are better than others at this. My take is that their parents, although they were taught properly, didn't take the time to emphasize the importance of expressing gratitude. I don't accept the notion that people just don't do that anymore. When I give a generous gift to a newlywed couple or a grandchild, the money came out of my bank account. I want to know my gift was received and appreciated. I have almost reached the point where, in the future, I will respond, not able to attend, and send nothing, when I know the odds of it being acknowledged are practically nil, and the couple is, for instance, a distant relative. Abby, is that letter writing publication of yours still available? It's obviously still needed. Disgusted in Albuquerque. Dear Disgusted, yes, my letters booklet is still available. The issues you raise are ones I hear about often from readers. However, you may be judging these folks a bit harshly. Many people put off writing letters because they don't know how to express their feelings via the written word, and fear they will say the wrong thing. They think a thank you note must be long and flowery when, in fact, short and to the point is more effective. That is the reason why How to Write Letters for All Occasions was written. It contains samples of thank you letters for birthday gifts, shower gifts, and wedding gifts, as well as the ones that arrive around holiday time. It also includes letters of congratulations and ones regarding difficult subjects, such as the loss of a parent, a spouse, or a child. It can be ordered by sending your name and address, plus a check or money order for $8, U.S. funds, to Dear Abby, Letters Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 61054-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. With the holiday season fast approaching, this is the perfect time to reply with a handwritten letter, note, or well-written email. Because letter composition is not always effectively taught in the schools, my booklet can serve as a helpful tutorial, not only a valuable tool for parents to use in teaching their children to write using proper etiquette, but also a handy guide for anyone who puts off writing because they don't know what to say. Dear Abby, is weekly intimacy unusual at 72 years of age? Wondering in Texas. Dear Wondering, not for someone who has a partner who is willing and able. Dear Veterans, for your service to our nation, I salute you. My thanks to each of you this Veterans Day. You are the personification of patriotism, self-sacrifice, and dedication to our country. Today, I would also like to recognize your families for the sacrifices they, too, have made. Love, Abby. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Virgo until 11:09 a.m., when the moon enters Libra. Happy birthday for Wednesday, November 11, 2020. Complex, magnetic, and persuasive, your dark side often generates a sense of fun. This year, you turn this into a success in a project of your own making. Express your talents, or risk extreme frustration. If single, a new love suddenly replaces a stale situation. If attached, your strong existing relationship moves to a new level of intimacy. You decide to explore somewhere new together. Pisces is one wild spirit. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Friends are confused and confusing today. Keep peer pressure in perspective. An uncharacteristic subtlety prevails. The way gradually becomes clearer. Listen with your heart and read between the lines if someone isn't easy to understand. Tonight, relaxing date night. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. The throat, ears, and thyroid are especially linked to your birth sign. Protect your neck from cold drafts with an attractive scarf. You are especially aware today of which health habits should be changed. Tonight, the show must go on. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Accept a rejection philosophically and be patient. A beloved needs extra care. There will be an awareness of what is or is not feasible in the love department. Good communication skills open Gemini's heart to romance. Tonight, for singles, an online educational tour provides opportunities. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 3 stars. A family member announces some unexpected plans. New ideas about your residence and changing goals voiced by him or her have to be considered. Be understanding and supportive. An elderly or very young relative can become a closer companion. Tonight, household meeting. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Today is wonderful for strengthening relationships with neighbors or siblings. Approach difficult people with tolerance. Love connections also abound. Any type of very short journey or trip is especially enjoyable. Tonight, answer calls and emails as promptly as possible. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Developing a balanced budget is your first step toward assuring security. Work to clear away any old debts with a reasonable plan for yourself. Be alert today. Follow through with a promising opportunity. Tonight, catching up with an elderly family member. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today begins on a note of ease and plenty. Others are helpful at work. Opportunities for wish fulfillment are yours for the asking. Future travel will facilitate love. A talkative, intelligent companion brings happiness. Tonight, dance to your very favorite music. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Spend time in tranquil contemplation. Today brings you deep personal joy through helping needy animals or disadvantaged people. Trust a hunch. You will be especially psychic. Tonight, listen to a friend's qualms about a personal matter. You will be an excellent advisor. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Today accents inner growth and new personal interests. A friendly business associate does you a favor. Do-gooder projects absorb your time and attention. Changes that began last June are coming into focus. Tonight, observe the ironic ways you surprise yourself. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You will be highly visible at work today. Much is demanded of you, but the potential rewards are really great. There are some important turning points. There can be some excitement afoot. Be observant concerning new developments affecting your profession. Tonight, online. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. There can be important online meetings or travel. You'll tend to compare yourself to others. Honor your individuality while appreciating what you can learn from associates. Maintain perspective by keeping up with current events, both locally and globally. Tonight, food delivery. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today brings new insights into others. There is empathy with people you just didn't understand before. Cobwebs of confusion that have hovered for more than a decade are suddenly brushed away. A more grounded mood prevails. Tonight, in wonderment and relief. Born today, writer Fyodor Dostoevsky, 1821. Writer Kurt Vonnegut, 1922. Writer Mary Gateskill, 1954.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.